Corporate underwriting on KPBS offers a unique opportunity for brands to demonstrate their corporate social responsibility as public media brings light to important causes. Your investment can showcase your brand's values and commitment to the public good. Email corporate support at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, March 11th. San Diego County has filed a lawsuit against DHS. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The National Weather Service says that across the region, things will gradually begin warming up starting today. Coastal temperatures will be in the mid-60s, inland valleys in the mid-70s, and our desert regions will land in the high 70s. Starting Thursday at 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. Friday, there is a heat advisory warning in place as most areas are facing record heat. Afternoon temperatures on Thursday and Friday are expected to land 20 to 25 degrees above average. As we approach the weekend, temperatures are expected to begin cooling down again. Last night, the San Diego City Council hosted an evening budget discussion. It started at 6 p.m., giving residents that work a 9-to-5 job the opportunity to share their input. Current estimates show a roughly $120 million budget deficit for the 2027 fiscal year, even amid budget cuts that some consider to be drastic or controversial. If you weren't able to join last night's budget discussion, you can still share your thoughts by taking a survey at sandiego.gov/budget survey. Mayor Todd Gloria says he will release his proposed budget for 2027 on April 15th and present it to the City Council on the 20th. As part of Women's History Month, Mayor Todd Gloria and each member of the San Diego City Council honored a woman of distinction. 10 women in total were honored. Gloria named Maria Chavez as this year's citywide Woman of Distinction. She is the Immigration Legal Director at the Partnership for the Advancement of New Americans. Gloria says that throughout Chavez's more than 17 years in nonprofit leadership and immigration policy, she's advocated for immigrant communities and promoted equitable access to resources. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hola, friends. In the next episode of Port of Entry, we get to hang out with prolific regional producer Emilio Montiel and learn that there's more to these movies than meets the eye. This episode will challenge your preconceptions and prejudices. Don't miss it. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, San Diego County followed through on its ultimatum to the Department of Homeland Security, suing DHS over access to the Otay Mesa Detention Center. Reporter Alexander Wen says the issue is about state law.
California law allows counties to inspect private detention centers for public health purposes. San Diego is the first county to try to exercise that right. Federal and county officials were turned away from the Otay Mesa Detention Center last month when they tried to inspect the facility. But for Supervisor Tara Lawson-Reamer, the issue hits closer to home as a Jewish person.
We have family stories about people who barely escaped a Holocaust in a country that was apparently ruled by law at the time. And then individuals were just arbitrarily detained and nobody inspected and nobody cared and nobody watched and everyone shut their eyes. And then that's what happens.
The county is also planning to file a motion for a preliminary injunction Friday, seeking immediate access to the detention center. DHS has yet to respond to an email seeking comment. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Some California lawmakers are pushing to reverse state cuts to health care for immigrants. KQED's Catherine Monahan reports.
About 3 million Californians are expected to lose their Medi-Cal eligibility by 2028. That includes not just undocumented residents, but also DACA recipients, green card holders, and refugees. The governor's office says federal budget cuts forced the state to reduce coverage. But State Senator Maria Elena Durazo says cutting health care won't actually save money.
When people cannot see a primary care doctor, they do not stop getting sick. They wait. And then, when they can wait no longer, they show up in the emergency room at 10 times the cost of a routine visit. Think about that.
Durazo and other state lawmakers have formed a coalition called Health for All. They're campaigning for the Medi-Cal Restoration Act, which is currently in committee.
That was KQED's Catherine Monahan reporting. A simple blood test could help predict dementia risk decades before symptoms appear. That's according to new research from University of California, San Diego. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco explains why researchers say it shows promise.
Researchers analyzed blood samples from more than 2,700 women between 65 and 79 years old. They measured a protein in their blood called p-tau217.
We sought to determine whether this blood-based biomarker, plasma p-tau217, whether it was associated with dementia risk in people who had no symptoms, who were cognitively healthy.
Aladdin Shadiab says researchers then followed the women for up to 25 years to see who later developed dementia.
What we found was that women who had elevated levels of this blood-based biomarker had threefold higher risk of incident dementia.
He says what makes the discovery promising is how easily the biomarker can be measured.
With a simple blood test, we can detect whether someone has changes in their brain that indicate Alzheimer's disease.
Today, doctors usually rely on more complicated tests.
Cerebral spinal fluid test, which is invasive, or what's called PET imaging.
He says further studies are needed to confirm these findings, but this blood test shows promise for research on factors that increase dementia risk. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Today, SNS Friendly Ranch is a gathering place rooted in community and ancestral connection. It began in the 1980s with two siblings trying to build a life in San Diego. Arts reporter Audie McAfee spoke with their granddaughters about how they are carrying that dream forward.
The two S's in SNS Friendly Ranch stand for siblings Sim Wallace and Sarah Buncombe, the founders of the 10-acre ranch in the Tijuana River Valley. After migrating from Texas in the early 1970s and settling in San Diego, the siblings were searching for a place to board their horses. Diamond Brandon is Sim Wallace's granddaughter and remembers the story of how her grandfather and his sister took over the land after the original owner could no longer care for it.
When he came to this place, the owner at the time basically said he was getting older. His family didn't want to continue the work that he was doing, and he told him to make him an offer. So he and his sister pulled their money together, and it's been in our family since 1980.
Brandon says that while the ranch continues her grandfather's legacy, its purpose has evolved.
I will say it's been such a beautiful experience. I'm born and raised in San Diego, and so I've seen Black businesses close. I've seen Black families displaced from neighborhoods that were typically Black. I've seen the voice and representation of Black culture diminished, and we're fighting to build that back up.
Taught at a young age that when you have land, you build something, not just for yourself, but for the people around you. Brandon created what is now the only Black-owned ranch in San Diego, a space she believes should be safe and welcoming for everyone. Today, the ranch serves as an event space for the broader San Diego community.
There are people who come for family reunions. We've had some Juneteenth celebrations out here. Most recently, we had over 700 people participate in Blacktoberfest with SD Melanin. Folks rented out for private events as well, birthday parties, anniversaries. We've had a quince or two. It's been really dope.
The ranch still includes some animals, three horses, a handful of goats, and several chickens. But Brandon says they plan to phase that portion out because of limited staffing.
We're very small, and the other work is like pulling, so we don't ever want to have a situation where animals are not getting the care they deserve.
In addition to hosting events, the ranch partners with community organizations. One of them is Azili Wellness, a collective focused on healing through ancestral practices and homegrown goods. The group began operating informally about 3 years ago and became an LLC in 2024. Jazze Harmani Buncombe is the co-founder of Azili and the granddaughter of founder Sarah Buncombe. She also serves as the ranch's director of agriculture.
I've learned that my people have been doing things like this for a long time, and I've learned more of like where I come from and just how easier it is to step into those roles once I realize like it's not that crazy, it's not that new.
Currently, agriculture takes up about 1 acre of the land, but they plan to expand to 2 acres by the end of the year. Buncombe says part of Azili's work involves preserving seeds from the crops they grow. And with the ongoing environmental challenges in the Tijuana River Valley, the ranch needs to be strategic about what they plant.
Environmentally, it's important because seeds have memory, just like people and our DNA. And so if I wanted to make a seed here that's more water resilient, I can cultivate that seed here for a number of years, giving it less water, save the seeds that are doing the best with less water, and every year those seeds will be better and better with just the bioregions.
Lucy Chishugi is one of the owners at Azili. She met Buncombe and Brandon after visiting the ranch several years ago. Over time, she became part of the team. She says she's grateful to contribute to the land's deep-rooted relationship with San Diego.
This space really allowed me to be a student and opened me up to students who were in transition of teaching without even knowing it, like Jazze. And through our friendship and relationship, just being able to offer each other service when it came to literally their family's land, something that's very sacred to them.
Chishugi says that after leaving the Democratic Republic of Congo at 3 years old, her work at the ranch allows her to reconnect with her lineage.
I'm working in soil, but I know there's soil in Congo, so I'm like low-key communicating with my ancestors too, and we're all talking, and we're over here cultivating red burgundy okra, black-eyed peas that came from like Africa as well, and are traveling through different families in the Americas to be back here on this land.
Brandon says without the physical and spiritual foundation that Sim Wallace and Sarah Buncombe planted decades ago, the ranch would not exist in its current form.
Not because they bought it, but because they pour so much into the people, still pushing it forward. Every word that comes out of my mouth, it is fostered by the love and the wisdom and the compassion and just heart for people that they poured into me and that they lived every single day.
Audie McAfee, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.